Another fast food chain is experimenting with fake meat. On Tuesday, Kentucky Fried Chicken offered meatless nuggets and wings at a single restaurant in Atlanta. People gobbled them up. According to Veg News, customers wrapped around two city blocks and waited in line for more than an hour. They were sold out in less than 5 hours. Burger King, White Castle, and Red Robin have already rolled out plant-based meat alternatives, with more restaurants planning to follow suit. There are estimates that this could end up being a $2.5 billion industry by 2023. What is driving this trend? Dina Shenker is a food reporter for Bloomberg. Dina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, these meat substitute products, there have been ones on the market for a lot of years, you know, in the freezer section, grain burgers and fake meat products, but it seems like they're exploding. What happened?
Well, the food got a lot better. That's the first thing. Basically, the old school veggie burgers, they are still there, the Boca burgers, the Morningstar Farms, but the new generation of plant-based burgers, they don't necessarily qualify as veggie burgers, kind of depends on who you talk to, but the new generation is made to really mimic beef and the other meats. So they are, instead of being frozen, they're usually sold fresh. They look like beef. They are supposed to taste and cook a lot more like beef than any of their predecessors ever did.
Now, I've used the phrase fake meat a couple times. You've talked to a lot of people in the industry. I assume that's not a phrase they love?
You assume correctly.
What do they tend to call it?
Plant-based meat is the term of choice that I hear the most.
Now, talk about how this is getting into, you know, not just the health food store or the health food section of the big groceries, but, you know, big fast food chains.
Yeah, well, we've seen two main companies that are really dominating the space. The first is Beyond Meat, and the second is Impossible Foods. And they took very different paths to market. So Beyond Meat started in Whole Foods and on university and hospital campuses. Then they went into more mainstream supermarkets. Then eventually they started going into the big national chains. TGI Fridays was their first one. Then you have Impossible, which went a very different way. They started with chefs at high-end restaurants like Momofuku in New York City, a bunch in San Francisco. And from there, they started going into high-end burger chains like Umami Burger and Bear Burger. And then the fast food, White Castle, was their first one. And they may start being sold in supermarkets next month.
What are the main ingredients going into our plant-based meat-like products?
So for Beyond Burgers, their main ingredient is a pea protein. And for Impossible Burgers, their main ingredient is soy, but it's their secret ingredient called heme, for short. Soyla hemoglobin is the full name. That is the ingredient that they say really gives it its meatiness, its taste, its texture, and it also gives it the red color.
Talking to Dina Shenker, food reporter for Bloomberg, looking at the rise of alternative plant-based alternative meat products ending up in Burger King and other fast food chains, KFC trying one out now. Dina, who are the consumers driving this demand? What do they want?
So the consumers are surprisingly generally meat eaters. These aren't just vegetarians and vegans, although they're definitely eating this stuff too. But it's really the vast majority are meat eaters that appear to be looking for something healthier. Now, they might not be getting anything healthier, but that's what they're looking for, and that's why they're trying these products.
Yeah, that health issue, Whole Foods CEO John Mackey had said he's a vegan. He loves this is good for the environment, he thinks. He loves it's not meat. He doesn't think it's that good for your health. It's highly processed food stuff. You talked to us, in your extensive reporting, you've talked to some health expert types. What do they say?
That basically, from a health perspective, if there are any benefits, and that's a big if, then they would be very marginal. That for the most part, what you're looking at is something that is nutritionally pretty close to beef.
And John Mackey and some others have said, okay, that's not the benefit. It's not the health. It's maybe the sustainability, the environment. Is there an argument for that?
Oh, well, that is absolutely true. Beef is a major driver of man-made greenhouse gases. And anytime you can sub in a plant for beef, you're going to be doing the planet a favor.
And I had seen reporting, and I think it might have been yours, Dina, that at least one of these big companies with these new burgers is trying to steer clear of the V word on their packaging and marketing, vegan. It is vegan, but that's not really their selling point, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot of these companies want to be sure that they're appealing to the masses, and vegans make up a tiny percentage of consumers, and that's not who they're going for. So by calling it a vegan product, I think these companies worry about losing appeal to meat eaters.
All right, an anecdote for you. A source close to me, my wife, ordered one of these at a restaurant once and was in the process of being about to send it back. She's like, wait a minute, this is beef. And the wait staff was clearly like used to this, like, no, it's the thing. This is pretty beef like, right?
So anecdotally, I've heard that story before.
Yes.
It's apparently so common. Like, I've heard it from consumers, I heard it from a chef at a Sodexo chef, Sodexo, the food service company.
Now, we see these products marketed as burgers of various sorts. I think there's a brat out there. There are dogs. There are legal questions, right? You've written about legal challenges in some states to whether a non-meat product can use these words usually described used to describe meat.
That's right. We're seeing some legislation pop up state by state. It seems to be pushed by the cattle industry. And sometimes you actually have a state legislator who is himself a cattleman. So there's definitely a lot of cattle push towards this legislation that would limit the use of words like meat, sausage, beef, anything like that to a product that comes from a slaughtered animal. So if it's a plant-based burger, then they can't call it a plant-based burger. I don't know, plant-based patty maybe? It's a battle that's ongoing. A couple of states have actually passed these laws, and there are some lawsuits to try to stop them from going into effect.
That said, are there companies that are associated with some form of meat production who are going with the if you can't beat them, join them? Are they trying to diversify into these alternatives?
Absolutely. Tyson Foods said that they will be coming out with a new line called Raised and Rooted, and it will include a couple of things that aren't, they're not vegan products, actually, but they are moving in that direction. There's a faux chicken nugget, but it has a little bit of egg white in it, and then there's a 50-50 burger that will be a half beef and half pea protein burger. And then you also have Smithfield, which is the world's largest pork producer, and they have a line of soy-based meat alternatives coming out. And then you also have the big CPG companies, the big consumer packaged good companies like Nestle has a new burger coming, and ConAgra under their Gardein brand. So all the big players are hopping in.
Did I see somebody quote in one of your pieces say something about if you want to make somebody think they're really eating meat and it's not meat, there's a bratwurst product? Because we're really interested in this here in Wisconsin, Dina.
Yeah, it was actually the founder of Bear Burger who told me that he thought that Beyond Bratwurst was the closest thing you'll ever get, or out there right now anyway, to fooling a meat eater, that the sausage just really, really tastes like pork sausage.
We're talking about the growing fake meat industry, or plant-based meat alternative industry, if you will, with Dina Shanker. She's a food reporter with Bloomberg, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about plant-based meat? Is it appealing to you, or sacrilege in the kitchen? Have you tried one of these Impossible Burger or Beyond Burgers? Did it seem like the real deal, like an actual beef burger to you? Have you tried these? Do you serve them if you work at or own a restaurant? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking about America's growing appetite for non-meat meats, plant-based meat alternatives. Kentucky Fried Chicken taste-tested a plant-based chicken substitute in Atlanta this week. Other restaurants, including fast food joints like Burger King, Red Robin, and White Castle, have introduced plant-based burgers. They're making their way to stores more and more as well. Dina Shanker is our guest, food reporter for Bloomberg, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of meat substitutes or intrigued by them? If you're a vegetarian, do you want things that replicate the experience of eating meat? Or is that kind of gross and defeating the purpose? If you're not a vegetarian, do you eat something in place of a meat patty between burger buns sometimes? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Andrew starts us off in Green Bay. Andrew, hi.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
What do you think?
So I'm a beginning farmer in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I went to school and got a master's degree in ecology, and I decided that coming back and raising 100% grass-fed beef, pasture pork, and pasture laying hens was the most effective way of imitating the natural environments that I studied. So what I'm concerned about with these plant-based meat products is the environmental implication of growing vast amounts of annual crops that would otherwise be rangeland or just wildland for non-food animals. Where otherwise we could be growing grass-fed beef and all these other things. And I don't want to, I don't support the way that we traditionally raise beef and pigs in confinement or anything like that. That's part of the reason I do the grass-fed, so that we can mimic their natural behaviors and preserve the natural environment as much as we can.
Andrew, thanks so much for calling and sharing your experience with this. And Dina, I don't think Andrew's probably alone with this. He's saying, hey, let's stick with meat, but grow it in more sustainable ways as opposed to finding alternatives to meat.
Yeah. So first of all, Andrew, big hats off to you. You have a really, really hard and demanding job. I grew up in farm country. I've been around farmers my whole life, and I know you guys are probably some of the most hardworking people out there. Now, when it comes to these plant-based alternatives, I think that I don't think of them as an alternative to the grass-fed, more naturally raised kind of meats that you say you grow. I think that they are more so an alternative, especially when they're sold at a place like White Castle or Burger King. They're an alternative to the more commodity type of meat. And it takes a lot less soy to make an Impossible Burger, for example, than it does to make a beef burger. So I think if the concern is about the land that goes to growing agricultural products, that plant-based meats are probably not the right place to start looking to reduce.
Thanks a lot for the call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Stacy now in Eau Claire. Stacy, hi.
Hi, I just want to echo a lot of Andrew's comments. My husband and I also raise grass-fed beef, but I think one of the things people don't consider about the conventionally raised pea and soy is that those agricultural crops require so many inputs too. So you have a lot of gas to till those fields, and then you have all the herbicides and pesticides and fertilizers and everything that's going on to those plants that people are eating and thinking are quote unquote healthier, but they're not necessarily healthier. They have a lot of chemical inputs, and they're polluting our groundwater and our environment every day.
Stacey, thanks a lot for the call. We've got all of our grass-fed beef farmers in Wisconsin calling in, Dina. But again, the concern, it sounds like, is it's not comparing the meat, the grass-fed meat that she's raising. It's comparing the mass-produced meat that's probably eating agricultural products that use the same things that she was just talking about on their crops.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll add a couple of points. The first is that on the environmental concerns, I've heard these concerns and I understand them completely, especially when we're talking about genetically modified soy that's usually grown with a lot of glyphosate, which is really detrimental to the environment. However, it's still the same comparison in that it takes a lot less soy to make an Impossible Burger than to make a beef burger. So even if a GMO soy is arguably not a perfect ingredient, it's still a lot less than it would go into a standard beef burger. The other thing that I should mention is that in terms of grass-fed beef, that we simply don't have enough land in this country to raise all of our beef grass-fed. So it's not an answer to the question of where is all that beef going to come from. We can't do it all by grass-fed. And so that's another reason why I think a lot of environmentalists point to these plant-based burgers.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Dita Shanker, food reporter for Bloomberg, about the rise of plant-based meat alternatives finding their way now into big fast food chains. Burger King, the biggest so far. Before we go back to the callers, Dina, let's talk about that so far. Everybody's watching McDonald's, right?
That's right. Yeah, McDonald's is the biggest fish.
And is there anybody out there at this point who could meet the demand to supply these things without running out of them for a chain the size of McDonald's?
So Beyond Meat CEO Ethan Brown said in his company's first earnings call when he was asked about McDonald's that he didn't think that there was any customer out there that would break their system. I think that they would approach it in an incremental kind of way so that they weren't going from zero to 33,000 overnight. They say they can do it.
Let's go back to our callers now. Julia is with us in Madison. Julia, hi.
Hi, thank you for having me on. Just a couple things. I've been a vegetarian for 40 years. One, I'm excited to see the prices drop for meatless items. I think it will be good for us individuals that have been buying for a long time that we see higher prices for vegetarian items. Secondly, I heard some of the callers calling in regards to, the pros and cons of these veggie burgers versus beef burgers. But one thing to think about is that, I'll eat a number of Boca burgers over the year versus somebody eating beef burgers over the years. Who is going to be more prone to heart disease?
Julia, thanks for the call. Jury's out on that one, Dina, right? Or at least the health officials aren't saying that the veggie burger is going to necessarily be that much better in the long run than the beef burger.
One of the things that one health impact of red meat that has been linked by scientists in a number of studies has been questions is red meat causing heart disease, obesity, cancer? There are a lot of health conditions that there may be higher risk for people that eat a lot of red meat. And that is one thing that dietitians do sometimes point out that may be a benefit of eating these foods, which is why when I say that any health impact, if there is one, would probably be marginal, because if you're talking about a risk, it's already a question whether this health impact of red meat is really there. It may be, it may not. It hasn't been 100% established. And also it kind of depends on how often are you making these substitutions.
But to her main point, life is getting easier for vegetarians these days, it sounds like, Dina.
It absolutely is. There was a time when you could not go into a restaurant and find something vegetarian to eat. So now it just seems like it's becoming more and more common, not even just to have one of these burgers on the menu, but that they will make, they'll put something on the menu for people that don't want to eat meat that meal.
Time for one more call. Let's bring Mike on in Appleton. Mike, hi.
Hi there, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call, as always, Rob.
Yeah, what did you want to bring up, Mike?
There's just a couple of things I want to say. Number one, this is going to be jokingly. My thought process on this, I'm the grandson of a butcher, and if I, if this goes through your life as I'm eating this sort of stuff, my biggest fear is I'm going to hear a thump, thump, thump from a graveyard somewhere in northeast Wisconsin. But anyway, on a more serious note, I do have a legitimate concern. I've seen like the Impossible Whopper come out and what have you. The thing I don't see is exactly any clarification, unless you do some digging, as to what the ingredients are. Now, my biggest problem is I'm allergic to soy protein. I can have soy sauce, vegetable oil, which is soybean oil. I can do
Mike,
that.
Mike, I'm going to jump in because we're just about out of time. I think we get the point. Do we know, Dina, are people worried about allergies with these products?
Yes. I mean, soy is an allergen, and some people have raised that concern.
All right, Mike, thanks, and good luck. Dina, what are you watching for next in our last half a minute or so when it comes to the meat alternative market?
Well, we know the KFC Beyond Meat partnership in Atlanta was a big success, so I want to know when they're going to roll it out nationally.
Dina, we'll leave
whether they'll sell them in supermarkets, too.
Thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Dina Shanker, food reporter for Bloomberg. We talked with her about the growing industry of plant-based meat substitutes. Still time for you to weigh in. Would you eat or have you eaten a burger or chicken-like substance made of peas, soy, and or mung beans? Or does it have to be actual meat for you? How do you feel about the rise of these plant-based meat alternatives? Share your comments, your reviews maybe, over at the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at @CentralTimeWPR. Well, speaking of diet and nutrition, coming up tomorrow on Central Time, a doctor tells us the American-style diet is leading to a lot of our healthcare problems and healthcare costs around the country, but says that better food policies, especially at the federal level, could help move us all in a healthier direction. We'll find out why one state is passing a law aimed at cracking down on fake service animals. And it's this week's edition of Food Friday. Forget that health talk earlier. We're going to talk about cookies and cake. A cookbook author tells us how to do some bigger, bolder baking. There's a chocolate bread pudding recipe on the horizon that I'm really interested in. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.